Pray also for the staff. We're down to the last couple of weeks, I guess, of conference time in Greenwood Hills summer. And this is a time when they need the strength. There'll be some of them going home. And that means the staff becomes understaffed at times, and they probably need some help also. But just pray for the staff that they'll be able to make it through the summer in a way that the Lord wants them to, in a way they committed the summer to the Lord, too. They're fine. Group of young people. It's been a pleasure of Karen and mine to be with them for a few weeks. We're off for a couple of days, and I guess Thursday we're coming back to finish up the summer with them. But they're just a fine group of young people, and I'm telling you, that's the truth. It's great to be able to work with them. This morning I preached the gospel, and you know I feel that it's especially with me. You know, it's. Spoke that the Lord would give me liberty and a message tonight that it's important at all times to preach the gospel. Even though we have an opportunity and it's important to edify the saints, but also we can never be sure that everyone that attends these meetings, even on a Sunday evening, knows the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's going to be some gospel in the message tonight. Psalm 27. This is encouragement to the believer, this portion of scripture. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me, far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer at this time. Our Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this evening. Father, we ask out, speak to our hearts through your word, Father, that we might know thee more. Father, that we might seek guidance from your word in our life, and that we can have comfort from your word in our life. Now, Father, we ask out, speak to the hearts of each and every one here. Again, Father, if there's one here who has never come to know Christ as their personal Savior, we ask, Father, that thou won't give them any peace in this meeting tonight, that you'll convict them of their sin, and that they have no place to go but to a lost eternity without Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done for us on Calvary as we sang tonight, for what he's doing for us at this very moment as he intercedes for us. And our Father, we thank you that he's coming again to take us to be with thee forever and ever. It's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. The thoughts in most of this precious psalm seem to run in threes. First, we see a threefold need in verse 1. Light. The Lord is my light. The world needs light. We see that the world's in darkness without Jesus Christ, and we know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Satan has blinded the eyes and the minds of men that are in this world. So we see light in this portion of scripture in verse 1. We also see salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Those of us who have come to know Christ as our personal Savior, we can rely solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our future. We don't worry about the future as those who have no hope for the future. We talked about that this morning. The unsaved have no hope. So they want to live this life as fast as they can live it. Get as much of this world as they can get before they enter into eternity. They fall prey to Satan and his deceiving of their minds and their hearts. But we who have accepted Christ as our personal Savior can say, the Lord is my salvation. He took me out of the fearful pit. When the gospel is preached, it reminds us from where we came. This morning on the way out, when I was standing back there, I got a lot of comments this morning. And I appreciate that. But you know, it's a mighty God that we serve. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ that we spoke this morning. It's through his mercy and love and God's grace that we're saved and have an opportunity of everlasting life. One of the comments I'll never forget. If I didn't know Jesus Christ and left here today without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, it wouldn't be your fault. When we hear the gospel, it takes us back to the time and place that we who were far from God, who lived in sin, came to know Christ as our personal Savior. It excites me. We don't hear the gospel as much, it seems, today as we used to hear in the old days. Sunday night was the gospel meeting. We always had that on our billboards outside the chapel, Sunday night gospel meeting, Sunday morning the Lord's Supper, and Sunday school. But Sunday night was the night that we went out and reached out to the unsaved and tried to bring them in so they could hear the gospel. So we can say, those of us who have come to know Christ as our Savior, the Lord is our salvation. And we, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, came into everlasting life. Also, we see in the first verse, strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. He not only brought me out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit, but he established my goings. Philippians 4:19, again, we said that this morning, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He gives us strength. We also see in verse 4 another threefold desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord. To dwell in his house is to abide with him, to want to be with him. You know, we form friendships in this life. We see these young people in the front few rows, they're going to form friendships that might last a lifetime. And in those friendships, they'll want to be with each other as much as possible. And you all know that here. I get excited when I see some of the older brethren and the older sisters and I, to see three sisters here in the same assembly. Blood sisters is really neat. They're also spiritual sisters too. That's neat also. But you know, it encourages us that even through all the years, you're still friends. It's only because of Christ and what he's done for us that we can have friends, brothers, and sisters in the Lord. We must love the brethren. If we love Christ like that, we want to dwell with him, abide with him all the time. We want to be in communion with him. We want to go to him in prayer, study his word, seek guidance through his word. And through the Holy Spirit. We should be looking forward to the day that we're going to be with him forever. We should have a holy affection for the Lord himself. When David McLeod spoke up at the Emmaus conference, he said that he asked a group one time, How many want to go to heaven? And they all raised their hand. And then he said, how many want to go right now? Just a couple hands came up. If we desire to be with him and to dwell with him, we should be excited about what's happening in the world today, because it seems to point up to a time that Jesus Christ is going to come again for us and take us to be with him forever. To dwell with him. To be with him forever. I was looking at Parade magazine today, and they had an advertisement in there, The White Cliffs of Dover, for these old World War II songs. They were nice songs. I remember some of them, and I do like big band music. I like that old kind of music. And I was thinking of the White Cliffs of Dover. I've seen the White Cliffs of Dover. I was on a troop ship waiting for a pilot to come out to take us into Bremerhaven, Germany, about 6 miles off the White Cliffs of Dover in 62. And the sun was setting, and the sun was just showing on those magnificent cliffs. They are white. And I remember going even to Nuremberg, Germany, an old medieval city, even though there was wreckage about from the bombing in 1944 and 45, it was a beautiful city. There's places we've gone to when we used to live at the other house in Newville. We used to sit out in the back, and I used to enjoy sitting out in the back and looking out over the valley to this mountain they called Elephant Head. It looked like a sleeping elephant. It was beautiful to see the different seasons of the year and see that beauty that God has made in this world. The leaves changing, and then in the wintertime, snow upon that mountain. In the springtime, the leaves coming back out. It was beautiful. But you know what? There's a place that we're going to that'll make all these places pale. And we should be excited about it, that we're going to be with Jesus Christ in a place he's preparing for us. We should have a holy affection for the Lord himself. It tells us to behold the beauty of the Lord. Think this was the good part that Mary chose when she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She chose to behold the beauty of the Lord. To learn of him is to behold his glory. We should want to sit at Jesus' feet, to want to learn of him and see his beauty and his glory. Also, to inquire in his temple. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The temple door of the Holy Scriptures is always open to those who ask and seek. Psalm 1:1 tells us not to counsel with the ungodly, but to go into the temple of God through his word, to seek counsel in that, not with those who don't know Jesus Christ. There's many a time that we might even go to a friend and say to that friend, I have a problem. What should I do? If you were in my position, what would you do? God's word tells us we're not to go to those that don't know Christ as their Savior. We're to go to his holy scriptures. Seek from the Lord the answers in our life and to the problems of our life. And he'll answer us. He'll answer the problems that we have through his holy word. Verse 5, we see a threefold privilege hidden in his pavilion. In the time of trouble, sheltered in the great pavilion of his special providence, that we can be hidden in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. That's misquoted a lot of times. You hear unsaved people say all things work together. Or you even hear Christians misquote that and say all things work together. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Also we see secreted in his tabernacle, in the secret of his presence, as well as his power, doth he hide from the pride of man. Tells us in verse 5 that he sets us upon a rock. His feet, the Christian's feet or ways, are established on a sure foundation. The Christian's life is not built up on the shifting sands of human theories. I heard on Christian Broadcasting just this past week that Josh McDowell had an opportunity to preach the gospel in a major university in one of the Eastern Bloc nations to the professors of a major university in one of the Eastern Bloc nations that we have seen the walls come down. And when he was done preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who had not heard it for years, for 40 years, they didn't have freedom like that. They were under the bondage of communism. They didn't have the opportunity and liberty that we have. It's exciting to see this place pretty well filled tonight, because there's some desire among the believers here to get into God's word and hear what God has to apply in our life and everything else. But these people didn't have that privilege, and they, for 40 years, were denied the privilege of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, Josh McDowell was done preaching the gospel to those professors. 170 some came forward to ask Christ into their life. Now you think about that. What does that mean to the young people of that country that go to that university? They have greater hope than the young people of this country that go to the universities here in the United States, a quote unquote Christian nation. They have a greater opportunity because the professors there who have accepted Christ as a personal savior can have God's word shed a light onto their doctrine that they teach in those universities. That's exciting. Not just one, not just 17, but 177 came forward to accept Christ as their personal savior. You see, God does things in mighty ways today. Sometimes I think we lose sight of that. Sometimes I think that we're afraid to think big. We're afraid to think big, for we might fear that we'll fail big. But I think that when we rely solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see mighty things done. Verses 8 to 10, we see a threefold assurance of his face. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The pure in heart shall see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, we sing that many a time, face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry skies, face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The psalmist here said, of his face, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And that should be the desire of all of us here. If there's one here who hasn't come to know Christ as their personal Savior, he wants you to seek his face. He wants you to have the privilege that he offers for the believer to have everlasting life. He wants you to look upon his glory and behold his glory and behold his beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we see of his fellowship, thou hast been my help, leave me not. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We find that in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Isn't that great to know that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'll never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. There's times here, as a human being here in this earth, even as a Christian, there's times that we forsake those whom we love. But we know that the one who went to Calvary will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. He's also our helper. In times of need, we can go to Jesus Christ. He'll help us. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to us. He listens to our prayers, our petitions, and he answers our prayers. Sometimes we're not ready for the answer he gives. Sometimes we want that answer sooner, but the Lord does answer our prayers. And sometimes the answer of prayer is not the way we want it. We get excited as parents when we have children. The prayer of a Christian parent when they have children is that their child will marry another believer. It is the prayer. It should be the prayer of a Christian parent that their child will marry another believer. I was talking to Mark on the way down to Waynesboro to the Appalachian Trail down there about the need for a Christian to marry a Christian. God's word tells us we're not to be unequally yoked. You know, you might think, well, this person doesn't know the Lord yet, but if I marry him and I show him my testimony for the Lord, or her, my testimony for the Lord, then surely if I continue to pray, God will answer the prayer and that partner of life will come to know Jesus Christ. We're being disobedient when we do that. I think sometimes that we as parents here in the assemblies are a little selfish. We not only pray that our children marry Christians, but we pray that they marry assembly Christians. And we'd like to see it that way. But the Lord knows. He's the Lord of all. And we rely solely upon his decisions in our lives, in the lives of our children. Of his favor, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. We think about the good shepherd when he went out for that lost sheep. He lifted that sheep up and carried him upon his shoulders back into the fold. I was looking at the hymn written by that young lady from Scotland. Well, she's not young. She's home with the Lord already. The 99. That hymn used to really move me when I was a child. She was writing that hymn about her brother who led an ungodly life, who was into drinking and doing things that were all wrong. He even left Scotland because he had lived such an ungodly life to go to Canada to find if he could just straighten his life out. But even in Canada, he continued in his ways of sin. And one day they found him along a lonely road, frozen to death. And she wrote that hymn, the 99. She wrote another good hymn. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, goes out to seek the lost sheep. And even though their mother and father forsake them, the Lord will take me up. He lifts up the weary, the forsaken, lambs in his arms. Those who forsake their father, the devil, will find favor with the Lord. I think of even in our life, how we have a son that was forsaken by his parents in Korea. He's not like a lot of the children that come from Korea, because a lot of children, some of our friends have adopted from Korea, they at least know one of the parents, and they send letters back to Korea. They must, by law, when you go to adopting them, send letters back to that child as he grows up. But in Ben's situation, there is no record of any parent. They found him on a street. But he was forsaken by his father and his earthly father and mother. But the Lord sought to bring him here. And right here, the chatterbox, in the corner of the chatterbox, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It's because of the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. The one who was willing to go out into that places that we sometimes fear going out to. To bring a lost sheep into the fold. Verses 11 and 12, we see a threefold prayer. For teaching, teach me thy ways. His ways are the pleasant ways. He teaches salvation forever. His ways are the pleasant ways. We should seek his ways in our life. For guidance, lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. We are best able to use plainness of speech. We were talking up here at the inn after lunch today to some of the young men up there that are counselors and JCITs. And Wafiq, I guess you know who Wafiq is, some of you, he's from Egypt or Egyptian background, was telling us about Billy Graham, who's not well at this time. I didn't know Billy Graham had cancer. I didn't know that. But he is not well. And probably he's terminally ill. But he said about Billy Graham, always preached a simple gospel. Kept it simple. Those of us who remember the first time I went to see Billy Graham back in 1957 at the old Madison Square Garden in New York, a long time ago, that's quite some time ago, to listen to that choir sing, "How Great Thou Art," that was a great hymn that was brought to life back in those days through the Billy Graham Crusades, to hear George Beverly Shea sing those hymns, and then to hear him preach a 20-minute gospel message, and see people pour out of the seats to come forward. I had the opportunity in Nuremberg, Germany in 1963 to see him speak from the same platform that Hitler reviewed 400,000 troops at Soldiers Field in Nuremberg, Germany. So big of a field that it dwarfs a baseball field and a football field, look like nothing in the size of this field. And from the same platform he preached the love of God 20 years later, after somebody preached hatred. And I saw Germans come forward and GIs come forward to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And then again in Madison Square Garden, 1968, I guess, or 69, we went up there, the new Madison Square Garden, to hear him preach the gospel. You know, it's amazing. As I said with Josh McDowell, God can see many souls saved at one place. Sometimes we do limit our message. In Acts, it tells us the day of Pentecost, not 300, but 3,000 souls were saved. That's how mighty God's word is. I think now about who's going to replace Billy Graham. And we look back in the history of the church, we think of the Wesleys who just turned England inside out for Christ. We think of Dwight Moody who did many things for Christ, and then Billy Graham comes along. And if the Lord doesn't return in the next 50 years, he'll raise up another one. And we pray for that. Wouldn't it be great if it was one young fella that we know that God is going to prepare to reach out and see many souls saved. For deliverance. Well, for guidance. When our feet are walking in a plain path, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, sometimes our eyes deceive us. You know, I remember as a young fellow, I was told about the mirages that there's in the deserts. There's mirages. You're dying of thirst, and you look out there, and it seems there's a big lake out there, and yet there's nothing there but sand. And even when you're driving on the highways, you can see a mirage on the highway. It looks like the road's wet in front of you, and you come upon that road, and it's still dry. But you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. The eyes of faith take us through our life. Our eyes deceive us. Our eyes don't see everything. I talked to Ed Besselman. I can't believe these magicians can do what they do. He said, it's all an illusion. I says, tell me about it. And he said, if I told you, it wouldn't be fun anymore. But you see, even there, I try to watch specifically as to what they're doing, and I don't catch it. My eyes can't pick it up. But in our life, we walk through the eyes of faith, and God takes us through our life. For deliverance from the will of mine enemies, as Christ had his Judas, Paul had his coppersmith, so every true servant of God may have these from which he needs deliverance. And you know, there's some who just seem to be a thorn in the flesh, who always seem to aggravate us, cause us grief. But the Lord delivers us from them. Threefold encouragement in verses 13 and 14 to believe. I had fainted unless I had believed, troubled on every side, but not distressed. 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 to 10. I want to read that. I have to throw my glasses on to see the small print. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Isn't that great? The Lord said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also Jesus might be made, the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Even though we are attacked from every side, we're not to be distressed. We are not distressed because our faith is in God. We see in his word that Peter fainted when he was on the water because he doubted. Took his eyes off the Lord and he started to sink and panicked. We're also told to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him because the expectation of faith is from him. In Psalm 62, 1-5, it tells us, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a leaning wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. All who truly wait on him will be able to say, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 25:9, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, and that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And finally, we have encouragement to work. He shall strengthen thine heart. Be of good courage. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. The hymn that we sang tonight, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? God's word tells us that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and I. Again, if there's anyone here who has never come to know Christ as their personal Savior, you can't have these blessings that we've been speaking about tonight without him. You can't have him doing those things that we spoke about tonight for you, as he will do for the believer. We're also told in his word, if we have the Son, we have life. If we do not have the Son, we do not have life. Those of us who have the Son can look at Psalms 27 and can be encouraged by it. We will wait on the Lord. He will deliver his salvation for us. Those, if there's any here who don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have life. You don't have that abundant life that we talked about this morning. It's not available for you. The world can show you something. They'll tell you something that's good for a season. You know, we think of Moses, and he could have gotten caught up in everything that was available to him as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But God's word says sin is just pleasure. Pleasure of sin is for a season. And then after that, there's judgment. So we pray that each one here knows Christ as their Savior. And if you don't, we also pray that you don't have rest and that you don't have peace until you make that decision for him and for yourself to accept him. And I hope you don't sleep at night. I hope you find no rest until you ask the Lord of glory into your heart. Let's close the word. Father, we thank you for all the promises that we read in your scripture, Father. We thank you for the Lord who will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for that perfect sacrifice he made on Calvary. And through that shedding of his blood, we have total remission of sin and the forgiveness of sin. Father, we thank you for the peace that he has given to us, the peace that passeth all understanding, peace that the world doesn't know anything about. But in Christ, we have peace. Our Father, we thank you that he's coming again. Till that day comes, Father, let us always be desiring to read your word and seek guidance through your word and with communion with you in prayer. Pray for each and every one here tonight that you'll give us a safe trip home. Again, for those who are not well, Father, we ask that place a hand of healing upon them. Ask these things in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.